This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 7th, episode 1928, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
With the call of the 144th Kentucky Derby, the voice of the Triple Crown, Larry Colmus.
Thank you very much, Mike. Vino Rosso just went into the starting gate. My Boy Jack is taking his position in stall 10 here, and the last couple to go into the gate will be Noble Indy and Combatant. Noble Indy, one of the three horses in this race wearing the colors of Windstar Farm. He's got that orange cap. That'll make things a little bit easier to pick him out among the top three runners there. Here comes Combatant up to the outside stall under Ricardo Santana Jr. They're all in line, and we are ready for the start. They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And Justify had a good beginning. The expected pace setter, Promises Fulfilled, will go out to lead them. Justify is right after him, and Voltoro is close and just to the outside of them. Then Good Magic, Noble Indy on the outside. Flame Away is down toward the rail. They're followed by Firenze Fire, who's about five lengths from the front. Ravazzo is next. Mendelssohn is six lengths off the lead, splitting horses as they move into that turn. Then Free Drop Billy down on the inside. Automobile is alongside of him, and Christ is next. And then comes Magnum Mode, who's undefeated and back near the back of the pack early on. Lone Sailor's down toward the inside. Then Combatant Hofburg, Instilled Regard, Vino Rosso, My Boy Jack is second last, and Solomini is the last of 23-year-olds who complete the first half mile in a swift 45.77 seconds. Up the backstretch of the Kentucky Derby, and Justify is just to the outside of Promises Fulfilled. The two of them are matching strides on the lead. Victor Espinoza has Voltoro on the far outside running in third. Flame Away is fourth and down on the inside. Good Magic fifth between those two. Firenze Fire is down toward the rail. Then Noble Indy. Free Drop Billy. Ryan Moore starting to ask a bit more from Mendelssohn. He has his work cut out for him as they make their way into the far turn. There goes Justify. Justify takes the lead as they round the far turn. He opens up now to a length. Voltoro comes after him. Good Magic is in the midst of his rally, and it's a three-wide bid toward Justify as they make their way toward the top of the stretch. Justify and Good Magic start to pull away from the others, and they're into the stretch, and it's Justify and Mike Smith turning for home in front. Good Magic and Jose Ortiz a length behind as they come into the final furlong. Bravazo's down the center of the track, and then Audible on the inside, who's now up in a third. Justify a two-length lead as they come to the final 16th. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then Instilled Regard, they're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby. It was very close for a second. Audible may have got there inside of Good Magic.
Oh my gosh, it's always so exciting. And then you throw the mud into it. It just was so much drama and excitement. And even all the trainers were like, well, I don't know. You get the mud like this, who knows what's going to happen? And Justify just really showed his class. There was so much bumping and rubbing and crashes at the very beginning coming out of the gate.
It looked like bumper cars coming out of the gate.
Oh my gosh, it always is. But there was one horse, I think it was the 15 horse, that just turned left and ran when they opened the gates. And you're like, oh my God, took out Mendelssohn.
Poor Mendelssohn, yeah. He got hit and was like, I'm done. I'm staying in the back. We're safe.
Yeah. Now, there was one point where Firenze Fire and Flame Away were up there along with Justify. And you guys know that I am a betting person. And I may have created another account for myself. Husband knew all about it. Okay. Like, I'm not keeping secrets here. So I had told him who we had bet and picked. And even at one point, and so I told him Jemmy's Firenze Fire, Flame Away, Mendelssohn try. I said I had to put a dollar try on that because we'd win like $100,000 if it paid, you know. So at one point, Firenze Fire and Flame Away were up there. He's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then they disappeared. And then it got to where I had Bolt D'Oro, Good Magic, and Justify. And then those three were up there. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then Bolt just disappeared. But I did win some money because I played Good Magic across the board. And he came in second. So it was really an exciting race.
So you're
race
up like $3, $4?
I made like $18 on that one. Yeah. Thank you very much. Oh, right. Okay. And I only spent like 40 gambling. So it's all Jimmy's fault. So you had some picks, and then we'll go over all of our picks. I think this year, nobody's a clear winner. We're going to have to use the whole
triple crown. Nobody's a clear loser either.
That's what I mean. Yeah, there's no clear losers. We're all winners.
Yep.
So we're going to talk about that coming up. But Jen, why don't you tell us what's on today's show?
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition. As you have heard, we will continue to take tally of our Derby picks through and through. And then we're going to have a recap of badminton, the second most best weekend all year long for eventing fans. And Elizabeth Muller is going to take time out of her day to help us with that. And then Dr. Chang is going to stop by and help us with behavioral issues in our horses and how supplements can help that out. So stay tuned for the free, folks.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. And I wanted to warn the live listeners just real quick. Right before we had our meeting this morning, our power went out here in Ocala for about a minute and shut everything down. So if we disappear...
Is it storming?
No, not at all. It was a bright, sunny day. So I don't know if somebody hit a pole or what. But if we disappear during the show, that's probably why. So we'll hope that doesn't happen again. In the meantime... My Daily Winnie is a lot of these. We have a bunch of auditor birthdays today. Ruth McCormick, Brad Sellers, Colleen Lapp. We have Richard Alvey. Now, we also have a couple other birthdays. Host Philip Parks of the Dressage Radio Show. It's his birthday today. And our editor, Neil Gallarte. So happy birthday,
Neil,
to all of them. Yes, to all of them. And Neil comes from a Spanish heritage, and apparently they celebrate birthdays for an entire week, because if you try and talk to Neil this week, he'll say, it's my birthday. I tried to, and it's always a birthday, and there's like in five evenings of birthday stuff. So
it's like having a four-year-old.
It is, gotcha. Kind of, yeah. But gotcha. They do it for every member of the family, too. I'm like, it's only one day, Neil. No, it's the whole weekend. It's like, okay. But anyway, cool. That's how he does it.
Take it if you can get it.
Right, exactly.
Well, I have two, and my daily winnies are related to gambling. So my twin brother, of course they are. My twin brother messages me the morning of the Derby, along with everybody that doesn't. Maybe this happens to other horse people too. Non-horse people will text you going, who's going to win the Derby? Like, you know?
Like, right, yeah,
like horse people have more insight. But I said to my brother, I said, his name is Justin. I said, Justin / Justify coincidence question mark. I think not. Pick Justify. Well, what I didn't know is my brother is at a bar and they're just picking you $50 and you pick a name. And there's no odds, there's no favorites, there's no nothing. 20 people, $50 a piece. My brother picks Justify.
Oh no.
He sends me a text message with his hand fanning out $100 bills. He won $1,000. That son of a bitch won $1,000 off my pick. There was no odds, no nothing.
But like, he's your twin, so he offered to give you half of it.
I'm waiting on that message because I did text him back and I'm like, hey, some of that's mine. Hello, I told you to pick that horse. And I even screenshotted the text message where I resent it to him like, hello, this is me. And no response. I've heard nothing. Radio silence.
Yeah.
So thanks. Yeah. You're welcome.
So much for the power of twins, huh?
Yeah, there's no twin power. No wonder twin power. That is a fake thing. The other thing, and this one I probably would be closer to seeing money from this person than I would my brother. A Texas woman who refuses to be named reaped
wisely so, by the way,
$2 million on an $18 bet.
$1.2 million.
This woman in Austin made a pick five at the Retama Park Racetrack in Salem, Texas. That screams country ass track.
Yeah.
Pick five is where you just like you go through and they'll have the predetermined races, but up to the Derby, you pick the four winners before and then the winner of the Derby. Impossible to pick the
five winners in a row.
She picked five winners in a row, bet $18, and she won $1.2 million. They're joking because like she actually won almost as much as Justify did for winning the Derby.
And she has to be the only one that picked that because otherwise her payout wouldn't be that large.
I mean, well, the horse that before the Derby, I think it was his name was Funny Duck. And yes. I just thought, how the hell? He was like 39-1. Like, how would you pick him out of all the other ones? You know, so it was really, really, really impressive. Good job.
She's having a good Texas Monday. Woman. She's having a good Monday. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot better than a lot of people.
Hey, you know what? Some people get some free stuff because of the Derby. Talk about Audible.
Oh, yeah. If, you know, everybody saw all the Audible commercials, which I thought were pretty well done the first five times. After I saw it about the 20th time on Saturday, yeah. I was like, okay, I'm really tired of the Audible commercial now. But it was a very well done commercial. And their deal was they, if Audible won, they were going to give away the new American Pharoah book for free to everybody that had an Audible account. Well, they decided that Audible didn't win, but he came in the top three, so they're going to give the book away anyway. It's free right now. If you go into your Audible account and just search for American Pharoah, pull the book up, they'll allow you to download it for no dollars. I downloaded it to my phone yesterday so we could listen to it on our vacation, and anybody that has Audible can get it for free. Download it, but it's only till like for another couple days, so download it soon.
Cool.
Yeah, but so it's available right now. They were kind enough to do
Audible,
that.
I have the Audible app. Maybe this is going to be my first download.
Oh, yeah, you can get it. If you have the Audible app and have an account, you should be able to get it, I think.
And that's where they read it for you,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And now the other thing is, can you imagine the author? Because he's going to get his royalties regardless. Audible's going to have to pay him his royalties regardless. He just had, two, 3 million downloads that he wasn't going to get before. He is a happy camper this morning.
Or she. Who is the author? Who is it?
Guy. I think it was a guy. I don't remember the author's name. But yeah, so there you go. Get your free book.
Well, speaking of, we're all winners in the Kentucky Derby here on the show, except for Jimmy, because Jimmy picked, I don't know, the most god-awful picks ever, which is why I bet them, because in case first-timer's luck comes through, I was going to win
that.
But
she did watch it, by the way. I do know that.
Oh, good. She watched her horses flame away in a Firenze fire. So you picked Audible, Bolt, and Justify. So you had two of the three.
Yep.
Jen picked Good Magic, Justify, and Instilled Regard. She had two of the three. And I picked Bolt d'Oro, Good Magic, and Justify. And I had two of the three. So, you know what?
That's a first.
That is a first. And we all had different ones, too. You had one, two, and three at some point. All of us got one of them that were individual. So I think this is really, we're going to have to carry this through now. Bragging rights. We'll have to go all the way through the Belmont Stakes now.
Yep, I agree.
Okay, we'll have to tally at the end.
Can I just brag on something else, too? One of the reasons that we both picked Justify was the fact that he hadn't run as a two-year-old. And that was the first time since 1882. And
Curse of Apollo.
Yeah. Let's give people an idea. That was the year Franklin Roosevelt was born. And it was the first flip of a switch to turn on lights in Lower Manhattan. That's how old that's how long ago it was. So,
did you say Roosevelt like a hoof? Oh my God. Seriously?
It's Roosevelt. So,
sorry, listeners.
So that
it drives me more crazy than you.
The first time. And it was all weird. I was so happy about that.
They got power in Manhattan?
The first streetlights happened and power happened in Lower Manhattan that year. That's how long ago it was.
Okay, that's crazy. That's crazy. Well, it can happen, and it did happen. And I didn't realize there were two horses in it. Magnum Moon also hadn't run as a two-year-old. So the curse affected him, but did not affect Justify. And let's that hope horse it was amazing.
A trend. Let's just fingers crossed.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. Just so you guys know, we did see the video of Justify after the Derby when Bob Baffert paraded him around. And I don't want to talk about it because I'm just so sick of bad horsemanship for these past couple weeks with some stuff that happened at Rolex, some stuff that happened at Badminton. And this, I think that my tummy hurts about kind of some of the bad stuff. And what we need to be talking about is the good stuff. Did you know who's our horse that we all bought parts of that ran in Jaunty. Badminton?
Jaunty
Evans.
Yeah.
You know, his horse got stuck over the fence and he jumped off and kicked it apart so to break the frangible pins to save his horse.
I didn't know that. Hey. I knew he was withdrawn or was out, but I didn't know what happened. So yeah. What happened again?
So apparently, I'm just hearing this from different people. Actually, Abby was telling me about it. One of our auditors messaged me. She said that basically his horse was jumping the fence. She said, I want to highlight Jaunty Evans. His horse got stuck on a fence. He immediately jumped off and repeatedly threw his body onto the jump to try to break the frangible pin. That to me, and what she said, that is the real spirit of upper level event riders. The horse comes first. The horse is who we are here for and here because of. And that's what I feel some a-holes have forgotten. It's that the horse comes first. And you can give me your BS apologies and your BS nonsense about why you behaved badly. You are on a stage and you are responsible and you should know better, being that it is a 4 freaking star and this is not your first time at a horse trial, okay? So, that being said, Jaunty Evans, you're amazing.
Yay, Jaunty!
I know. I just wanted to highlight that, and I don't want to talk about anything else.
Well, yay to Janelle Price, too, for being the first woman in a long time.
Oh, my girl power!
To
hello?
Win at badminton. She did. And the interesting thing was this. We've talked a lot in the last week since Kentucky, that the change in the scoring has really made a difference. Well, Janelle Price, who's from New Zealand, by the way, and you'll see her at the WEG for sure. She was in 22nd after dressage and won badminton.
She posted something and it was a picture of her holding the trophy and he's got the blanket on. It's like, she's like, who knew? Like, you go in dressage in 22nd. You are not expecting to freaking win the whole thing. How incredible is that? 22nd after dressage. I love taking away the coefficient.
I do
and
too.
And how many spoiled, angry riders were like, I don't like that they took away the coefficient. Why? Because it makes the whole freaking thing. And you know what? Your fancy ass warm blood who has 4 time penalties because you doesn't have enough thoroughbred in it, but it moves fancy, you're not going to win anymore. Ha!
Well, and I just think it just makes it interesting for the audience again. You know? It pretty much for years was a given with the top three that one of them was going to win after dressage. Yeah. You know, one of those top three were going to win, and then everybody else was also ran. And it just, here, 22nd place. Now, cross country was tough.
Yeah, finished.
Cross country was tough, and it took out, you know, time penalties took out a lot of people. But still, it makes all three phases important again. Everybody had time penalties.
Yep. Everybody had time penalties. So the fact that she had the least amount of time penalties and she was in 22nd, you go, girl. That's fantastic.
I'm so excited about that. I really am. I just think it's great. Lauren Kiefer and Veronica was the highest placed North American combination, finishing 9th. So, and they had just won Rail Down. So 9th place for an American at Badminton's not too bad either. So that was kind of cool.
The person I was so hoping it was Mark Todd was going to win, because that's just like kind of he's made this comeback and he's here, but he had 3 rails in show jumping with Leonidas. So he finished, I think, 14th on Leonidas and finished in 6th place with I can't even say the name. Something Rhapsody.
I know. And then Michael Young.
Ubrid.
Mikael Young, riding Sam, pulled two rails and finished 10th. But you know what? That horse is 18, has won everything and everything. And so he said that he's probably going to retire him at this point. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's going to retire me top form, and that'll probably be his last, and Sam's going into retirement.
He says it's his final season, so maybe we'll still see him at the WAG.
Maybe. Yeah, it depends. I don't know. You know, or he might have another horse he's going to put in. We'll see. You know, he's got a few, so we'll have to see which.
Which horse am I going to win the WAGs with this year?
Yeah.
Let me think. Yeah. So
I have 4 or 5. Let me just pick one. But that was very exciting. We're going to talk more about that with Elizabeth, who was there and providing pictures to the auditor group, auditor room the whole time. She was there and she put
is
videos
Michael
and
Young
pictures.
Single? Hold on, I have a question.
I think he's married. We determined that before, didn't we, Jennifer, that he was married or had a girlfriend? It was one or the other.
Yeah. I need to know because
he's not single.
How many of those times, like one 4-star rider retires his horse and then gives it to their kid to compete? And
yeah,
like
that's true.
I feel like he has like a string of horses. He should have a bunch of children out there competing. Barb Crabo and Ever Ready, her 4-star horse, her daughter's now competing him. Like,
didn't Mary King do that too with one of her big horses?
Unfair to every other kid in the nation.
Mary King, Buck Davidson. Yeah. Hello. I mean, I'm sure Buck received a few of Bruce's horses.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, I mean, like, there's got to be perks. So. Michael Young, if you don't have children already, you need to stop popping them puppies out because there's a lot of nice horses coming up that you're going to have to retire. I think you should keep them in the family.
Hey, I wanted to mention a news story, too, that was kind of cool that I didn't know anything about until the press release came out last week. And that is, and we've covered this a lot, Sergeant Reckless, the Korean War Horse. Remember, they did the statue at the Marine Base in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And, they just did a duplicate statue, apparently, at Camp Pendleton. Apparently, there are 2 more statues that are copies of that one that have been made, and one of them has been unveiled, or will be unveiled, on May the 12th at the Kentucky Horse Park.
Oh, I was so hoping they were going to have one at the horse park.
Yes, they are. Sergeant Reckless will be at the Kentucky Horse Park. They're doing a dedication ceremony there on May the 12th at 1 p.m. And I did confirm with, I wrote back to him because it wasn't really clear. This is an exact duplicate of the one that's at Pendleton. So that's very cool. I'm so excited about that because we had the authors, but we had so many connections of Sergeant Reckless on the show over a period of time. And then, you know, we all listened to the book or read the book, and it was so good. And we had the people on who were at the Camp Pendleton thing, and it was just such a cool story. And I'm so excited that they're getting the statue there. I really am.
Funny side note, one of our listeners, Betty Fay, has a corgi. I bought a horse from Betty, and she and I are Facebook friends, and I laugh all the time because she has a corgi that she does, what's that, like when they jump over jumps
agility?
And go through agility with this corgi, and her corgi's name is Sergeant Reckless. And it's like the oddest name.
I love that.
It's this fluffy little butt. You know how corgi butts run, you see it run. It's like, there goes Sergeant Reckless through the tunnel, and I'm like, no, it's so weird.
I love that. That's hey, I also thought about, Jennifer's getting Dr. Chang on here. I thought about you over the weekend. We were yesterday in St. Augustine, where you got married. And what a cool town that is. We have never spent more than half a day there, but we have to get there and spend a couple days because you really could spend a couple days there.
It's really fun.
We went to the alligator farm, which apparently has been there for like 100 years. I mean, it's been forever, and they have every species of alligator and crocodile in the world. They're the
only
park to
have
that.
Did you know, remember when the hurricane hit like 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Did you know they had to have armed guards around the crocodile because it was flooding out and all the crocodiles almost escaped?
Oh, really? I was wondering what happened during Irma or during that hurricane because, wow. Because I was wondering because they would just crawl out if it was flooded.
And then they're free. Millions of alligators have been released into St. Augustine. Very, really funny area. So.
They would just blend in with the other 4 million that are already there, you know.
Can I say that I didn't know there were that many different kinds of alligators and crocodiles? There are a lot of different kinds of alligators and crocodiles. And can I also say that they say crocodiles are meaner? Well, they look meaner. They look meaner.
They look hangry.
Yeah, they do. They do. And they did the feeding, you know, which you would hate. But they did the feeding. And with rats. They feed them rats. And that's an exciting thing to watch. A bunch of alligators trying to compete for
food.
Yeah.
Delicious. That's great. Hey, I thought you were going to say you thought of me for some reason because of...
No, apparently I thought of you because of alligators. So,
alligators. Yeah, yeah. I just want to let you know, I've been making my way through the Marvel movies because I saw the Avengers and I realized I hadn't seen a lot of them. And in the Avengers movie, the Infinity War one, the Black Panther plays a part in it. Yep. And I was super confused. So Lucas took me to Black Panther on Friday.
Did you get to see it finally?
Yes.
Do you agree with me that it's one of the best Marvel movies they've made?
Oh my gosh, it was so good. And do you know, it's funny because Chad came home from watching it and I wasn't super excited about it because he came, first of all, you liked it, which usually means I won't like
it. Exactly.
But Chad came home and he's like, okay, let me just get this straight. There's like a place in Africa where they have all this technology underneath a bubble, and I'm supposed to believe that. And I go, babe, you believe that Thor flies from planet to planet on a on a rainbow with a hammer?
With a hammer.
He was right. Like, he goes, oh, that's a really good point. Like, that was okay, but this seems weird.
And Superman flies and crushes things, and that Iron Man has a super suit, and
I'm like, but that was the whole point of the movie, was that it was hidden and he was gonna like save the world.
And Spider-Man flies around on webs.
And I was like, and this is the one thing that's bent your brain. So I watched I had never seen any of Captain America, so I watched some of those last
night.
You had
never seen a Captain America movie?
No, because I'm sorry. And this one really got me. It's like there's one that ticks you off because it's so fake. And I'm like, wait a second. They're changing history. So now Hitler was like this other guy, but there's a guy worse than Hitler who's trying to take... I was like, this seems bizarre. And how did he just wake up 70 years later? Come on. All right.
Again, that bothers you and Spider-Man.
Believe there's a place in Africa that has all this technology that's under a bubble.
Yeah.
Wakanda forever, Jen. Wakanda forever. Watch it.
And you know, I think part of it is whenever you do sci-fi or fantasy movies, the premise has to be so crazy outrageous that it forces your subconscious to completely set aside reality. And
it seems
Wakanda
like everybody's
one,
cool.
Thing,
yeah.
You know, you're like, oh, that's just about possible, but it's not.
Right.
You know, if that's
so it's a little out there.
It was originally written in the 50s. It was so crazy out there. Everybody said, well, of course, it's science fantasy. You just buy into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and then you go back to it's like they're coming attack on Hitler. And then all of a sudden Hitler's like number one, pulls his face off and has this red face and he's shooting laser guns at everybody like pew, pew, pew. I'm like, come on. Everybody's vaporizing all of a sudden. Give me a break. Seems ridiculous. But Wakanda forever. Okay.
Don't you think that what I said, every little girl's going to have a red outfit and a spear for Halloween?
We walked out of there and Lucas was like, I am going to be Black Panther for Christmas because he wants to have his birthday party as a Black Panther party. And so he wants to be. And so we were talking to a friend of ours who's a fighter pilot who is also African-American. He's like, that would be awesome. He goes, but don't paint his face black, please. Yeah. I was like, I think I'm savvy enough to know that. Otherwise, my little blonde, toe-headed white boy is going as Black Panther, and I am loving every second of it. We already bought all the stuff for his party at the dollar store, and I'm like, what color is the Black Panther? He's like, black, Mom. So we had to get all black balloons for his Black Panther birthday party.
Yeah, that awesome. That was such, and it had more of a story. Now you've been watching them, you realize what I said about Black Panther had, it just had more of a cohesive story than some of them do. That, you know, had a beginning, middle, and end.
If you can believe if you can believe that there is a guy that lives in Africa in a bubble with all this technology.
But I mean, some of them, the stories get so convoluted, it's like, oh, I can't keep up with this today. But that one I kind of got. So yeah, exactly. Did you stay all the way to the end? Past the credits?
Of course. I'm no Marvel newbie, okay? Obviously. And so my brother, turns out they filmed all of these movies, especially Black Panther, in Atlanta.
Yeah, boy, Atlanta's and big now.
My brother was like, did you stay to the end? And I said, yeah, I did. And he goes, did you see me? My brother is like an extra in every movie, okay? Every movie. He's an extra.
At the very end with the scene with you-know-who?
In the United Nations scene.
Yeah.
And so he takes a screenshot of the part, and clearly he already had it because he texted it to me immediately. And there's the picture of the Black Panther up on stage, you know, screenshot. And there's the whole like UN organization. And my brother has an arrow pointed to the back of his head. He's like, there's me. I'm like, wow. Super famous.
Do you get day rate for that, or do you do that for free, those extra parts?
I said, how much are you getting paid for like being on all these movies? He goes, $80 a day. Not quitting my day job.
I didn't know.
Basically
what it was.
$10 an hour to stand around. He goes, but craft services is where it's at.
You get free food.
Food table.
Jennifer, we're waiting for Dr. Chang. She's trying to get Dr. Chang on. So that gives me a second.
Can
I just do the loser of the week to start the week?
Absolutely.
All right, good.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
All right, Austin police back to Texas. This is not the same woman that won $1.2 million. They arrested Allison Chafin, who apparently was dared to go over and slap a police horse in the butt. The horse's name was Titan, and Titan reacted in a startled manner and spun around, as you horses do when they get slapped in the butt. And I love how the article says, thus inhibiting the officer's ability to control Titan. Now, it doesn't
That's
say...
That's important, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
That's important.
It's kind of important. Apparently, it was a crowded scene, too, with other horses and civilians and everything. Now, it doesn't say whether he came off, but it says the action of striking the horse caused him to momentarily lose control of the horse, and it was spooked and began to turn and move away. Yes, they usually do that. The person that was slapped him, I don't know. That would be a better plan in my book to teach him that. What happened, Chafin immediately stated it was a joke and it was a bet to slap the horse. Well, that joke caused her to go to jail and now is facing a fine of up to $4,000 and a year in jail.
Well, here's where that's important. When I said that's important, you said thus inhibiting the officer's ability to control Titan.
Yes.
Well, Texas law prohibits interference with police animals, and it actually has tougher penalties if the offender's action, quote, inhibits or restrict the handler's or rider's control of the animal.
So if he hadn't turned around?
If he hadn't spooked and turned around, but basically he lost control of him for probably what was a split second. But that split second could put her in jail for up to a year.
And some states now, she actually got off lucky. It's a misdemeanor. Some states have really made that like assaulting an officer felony. So
yeah,
she's lucky that's all she got. But how many times have we heard this year? She's not the first loser of the week that slapped a horse. And, you know, well, I dare you to go
up
and
do it. Yeah,
why do
people think it's okay?
Yeah.
They're drunk.
Yeah, exactly. Alcohol.
But even drunk, I never would have walked up and hit a police horse. Well,
you know that's not going to go well on so many levels.
Terrible idea.
Terrible idea. Yeah, exactly.
Terrible loser of the week.
Well,
all right.
Well, one other thing. I just had a listener want to know about the chickie.
Oh, Poppy the orphan.
Yes.
Chicken.
Did he watch the Derby with you was the specific question.
Don't call him a he. He's got to be a she.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Even though my farrier
Did
and your mom
watch
come out, everybody thinks it's going to be a he. Poppy is going to be a puppy. So Poppy, the rescue chicken, the orphan baby chick, I got to get my names right. Poppy the Orphan Baby Chick is amazing. And I'm starting to get her to like turn into a real chicken. Like slowly I'm leaving her out with the other hens and they chase her around. But she is now starting to slowly morph into an actual chicken as opposed to a dog.
Okay. So her cat.
We're improving. I'm trying to like saturate her a little more with chicken behavior.
You're a good mommy. She's You're a good better. Hen.
She's getting better. I'm like pecking the ground. I'm like, scratch like this. Come here. She's like going to the dog food bowl.
That's how
like,
dedicated no. Jamie is to her animals.
You're not a dog. Get over here and scratch like this. Oh, we've got Dr. Chang on the line. He always is on hold from when you make me talk about weird stuff that happens in my life. Stuff.
He's so proud.
Hi, Dr. Chang. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Nice to be on board today. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, were you at Rolex with all of our listeners who are so excited and loving meeting all you guys from Omega Alpha?
Unfortunately, I personally wasn't there, but Jeff was there. Jeff and his group was there. So that was great. Well, I hope everybody had a good chat with Jeff.
Yes, he's amazing.
Hey, there were pictures from Kentucky Derby, too, of some of our listeners with Jeff. Jeff sent them over yesterday. So,
yes, yeah. Jeff is getting around.
He's getting social media savvy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's impressive. So, yes, Samantha Reeves was one of our listeners who went up and got a picture with him, and she was very excited. So, really great to see you guys out there every single year. I mean, I certainly know that a lot of people look forward to going and seeing the group over there at the Omega Alpha booth in the trade fair. So, what we're going to talk about a little bit is behavioral issues. And this is not something I think we've really touched upon in this kind of blanket view here. Usually we focus on one thing, one product, but now we're going to talk about the several products that can help with behavioral issues. So let's talk about that, Dr. Chang.
Is this for horses or people, Dr. Chang? It's not for Jamie, right? This is for horses. Right. Just check.
It might be for the chicken. I overheard a preamble there with the chicken. Hey, it may help the chicken. You know, you have to convert the chicken to making him think he's a chicken instead of thinking he's a horse, right? Or a dog, sorry.
I know you guys have pre-mare for hormonal health. If you could give me pre-hen, that'd be great.
No, one of the things that we try to say to people, behavioral issues, there's usually many reasons why horses have behavioral issues. And I put that in quotation marks, behavioral issues, right? If your horse is in pain, he's going to have issues, right? For example, I know horses have ulcers, right? And because they have ulcers, they're in pain. Or sometimes they may not even have full-blown ulcers. They may have an irritated, inflamed stomach or inflamed small intestine. And what happens sometimes is that, you know, you put the bridle on, okay? As soon as you put the bridle on, it's like giving somebody chewing gum. And if their stomach is empty, or even if their stomach has food in it, chewing gum on an empty stomach or full stomach, if you chew long enough, what happens is that your stomach starts to feel like not too comfortable, right? Mm-hmm. And this is what people who don't have ulcers. So imagine if you have an inflamed stomach or even have ulcers. Once you start put that bridle in your mouth, it generates saliva. Saliva sends a message to the brain saying food is coming and then nothing is coming, right? The acid production ramps up. So next thing you know, it irritates the stomach even more. So one of the things that we say to people is that if you have a horse that has ulcer, deal with the ulcer issue, right? That will make your horse a lot more comfortable, right? So one of the tricks that we've done is that if you have a horse that has ulcers, but not full-blown, but he may have an inflamed area, you know, you give him a little bit of gastro effects before you bridle him. You have a horse that's it's a different animal altogether once you bridle him, right?
So what does gastro effects do?
That will soothe the inflamed area, coat the inflamed area, help control the amount of acids that are coming out, and help promote the healing of that inflamed area. So the key here is that if you're looking at behavioral issues because of inflammation and irritation of the gut, right, it helps control that pain aspect, so the horse is a lot more comfortable.
Okay.
And then you also have behavioral issues because sometimes your horse is just mental, right? Or it spooks easily, right?
Right.
And so for something like that, we have a calmer. We have something called chill. Now, chill is a little bit different from a lot of other calmers because what it does is not magnesium-based. So it actually works. So what happens is that it works quickly. We suggest you give it about half an hour or so before you actually go into competition or so. But make sure, or before you trailer him, before you load him onto the trailer, because a lot of horses get anxious with trailering, etc. Or even when the farrier comes in to do his hooves, right? Sometimes horses get anxious because of that. If you give him about half an hour before you expect the farrier or loading him, he's a different animal altogether. Because what it does is that it acts on the central nervous system, meaning it acts directly on the brain, so it helps calm them down, right?
Let me jump in there, that the chill is, what I find is that when you unload you give the horse the chill, then you take them somewhere, and then you unload the horse, you unload a different horse. They hit the ground outside the trailer not panicking. You know, sometimes green horses, when they're not used to traveling a lot and they go somewhere new, they're like snorting and looking at everything. This is a way to get them to unload the trailer and like kind of reevaluate. That's what I felt when I used it with Thor, especially his first dressage show. The dressage show was like 20 minutes away. I gave it to him, loaded him up, unloaded him. Oh my gosh. It was such a better situation.
I think that if you go in calmly, they will come out a lot more calmly, and they'll be a lot more cooperative when they come out calm. A lot of times, if they're fighting you to go into the trailer, so they're already worked up. So by the time they get off, they're even more worked up. So then you're right; they just won't cooperate with you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
I was going to say, the other thing that people don't think about sometimes, because a lot of horses in competition are high stressed. Show horses are high stressed. They're under a lot of stress. So what they don't think about is that, you know, there are certain products that we have. There's a product called Endurogen, which we have, which will fight the effect of that stress. And usually what people would use it to, there's two things that product does. It helps them fight the effect of stress. So it calms in that, so it acts hormonally as opposed to centrally. So it'll fight the production of cortisol, etc. But what this particular product, Endurogen, does, it'll help them calm down because they'll get better rest, right? It's a formula made of adaptogenic herbs. One of the pluses with this particular product too, because it is adaptogenic, it'll give them more energy also, right? And now I know people say, oh, my horse doesn't need any more energy. But, you know, if he's always in a fight or flight mode, right? So just the fact that you can take away some of that cortisol makes a big difference to the attitude of your horse. Right?
The better energy, not crazy energy.
I call it creative energy, useful energy, as opposed to the one that is fighting you on everything. Right,
right, right.
And last but not least, we have the product you mentioned, Premier, for we call them witchy mares. Right, again, behavioral issues for that time of the cycle. Right? If you take this product on an ongoing basis, what you'll find is that you have a mare that is a lot more controllable, a lot more calm, as opposed to the one that wants to bite you as soon as you get close to it. And we have a lot of people who've used this particular product and come back with great stories on this.
I now have my first mare. She's a filly. She's 1 year old, but I know at some point she just had her first heat cycle. And she's about 15 months old, and she just had her first heat cycle. And I'm like, uh-oh, that's time to order Premier. Just even handling her, I was like, oh, man, why you got to be a mare? So this will help. Now, what is Premier? How does that work? As a woman who can be overly emotional and sensitive, how does this help you?
Not you.
I know. Hush. You have no room to comment. Don't even say a thing, Glenn. You're going to get yourself in trouble.
You see, I'm on radio now, and you have me walking on eggshells. I have to know. What Premier does, it has a lot of herbs that have phytoestrogenic effects. Okay, so the idea here is that these herbs will put in what's called phytoestrogen into the bloodstream of your animal. Now, a lot of times during the first heat cycle or during any heat cycle, what happens is that you have a lot of estrogens floating around, progesterones and so on. But if you have too much estrogen, sometimes what happens is that the estrogenic effect becomes a lot higher than normal. And what happens then is that you have a horse that's very irritable, a mare that's very irritable. Now, if we come and replace some of the estrogens with phytoestrogens, then what happens is that the estrogenic effect on the horse actually drops. So you have a horse that has less of an estrogenic effect, even though you're putting in estrogens, because phytoestrogens are not as active as regular estrogens produced by the body, right? And okay. So because of that, you have your phytoestrogens competing with your regular estrogens for receptor sites on the cells. So if you have, and I'll just pull numbers out of the air there to illustrate the point. If you have 100 estrogen receptors and you have, say, 5,000 normal estrogens produced by the horse, well, you know your 100 estrogen receptors are definitely going to be covered by your regular estrogens because you have 5,000 estrogens. Now, if I come in and put in another 5,000 phytoestrogens, all right, and you have 5,000 normal estrogens, so then roughly 50% of your receptor sites will be covered by phytoestrogens and 50% will be covered by regular estrogens. So what happens is that your net estrogenic effect is going to be a lot less because you're only dealing with now with 50 estrogens and 50 phytoestrogens, which has a lot lower effect than the regular estrogen. So you have a horse that's a lot more calmer, a lot more cooperative.
Fantastic.
Now you have to remember all of these products are made from human grade herbs, and it can be used by yourself, Jamie. I'll have to chat about that. But we do have a human line.
I will send Chad the link right now.
You clutch it there.
As a matter of fact, I have to work with her a lot. I'll buy it for her. I'll just send it over.
Take your Premier, Jamie. Here we go. So, Dr. Chang, OmegaAlphaEquine.com is where everybody can find out more and find these products and find out where you can buy them at a store near you. Thank you so much for coming on. As always, it's always somewhat of an education. Sometimes it's somewhat offensive, but that's okay. We can take it.
Hey, Dr. Chang, can I get a bulk discount? I have 32 hosts and only one of them's male. So,
oh yeah,
can I get it by the case?
Okay, we'll sell it to you by the case.
Okay, thanks.
I'll give you the needle. You can go directly into the bloodstream.
All of a sudden, this like 55-gallon barrel drum ends up at Glenn's door. Jen's like, "What is this?" Don't worry about it, honey.
Can I remind everybody to send all of your complaints to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com?
Please.
And if you have complaints about Dr. Chang, send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. She gets all the complaints.
OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Dr. Chang, thank you so much. Anything else you want to add? I don't think we have a scheduled telephone conference thing coming up.
No, we're good to know. And thank you for having me on board.
All right, thanks.
And it's always a pleasure to be chatting with you guys on the radio. And as I said, all complaints sent to Glenn.
No, Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. That's where you say
Glenn's too sensitive.
I can't handle that, Dr. Chang. Jennifer throws them all away before we see him, and that way we can live a happy life. So
no, don't throw them away. Thanks, Dr.
Thanks,
Chang.
Dr. Chang.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. See, I want to get back to the segment where Jennifer actually reads people's complaints, because that was one of my favorite things.
So I think they must be really bad because she hasn't been reading them lately. I think they must be really bad.
I think Glenn's just too sensitive.
No, I'm sensitive. Who's the one that told me when we started this show 7 years ago, I don't want to see any negative emails about me?
Yeah, well, that's from years of getting negative emails on a daily basis, no matter what you say. This show seems to be nicer. That, or, I mean, like, people used to email me negative emails about myself directly. It's like, hey, you are this. And
so
you are
would
that.
You get bad emails if you called the traffic, if the traffic wasn't good that day, it was your fault?
Oh my God, it was always my fault. Always my fault. It's
traffic's
crazy.
Tied up. It's Jamie's fault.
I used to get emails that would say, you said that it was 25 minutes to get from 316 down to 285 on 85 South, and it took me 32 minutes. You were totally wrong. I can't believe it.
You and the weatherman were getting all the emails.
God help you.
All right, play a song. We haven't heard one for this particular one from Jared in a long time. It's the title of one of his albums called Dirt. We'll be right back. We have a question, First World Problems, and then we have Elizabeth, one of our auditors, coming on from, she said she could be in London. So she's in London. She was a badminton all weekend, and she's just going to tell us what it was like.
What this land's made of, work is what this ranch is made of. No amount of money can buy, no amount of money can buy. Hurt is what them colts put on me, curse is my response immediately. And sometimes I don't know why, no amount of money can buy. It's a hard, hard life, but we got what we came for. And there is no one reason why no amount of money can buy this dirt. Flirt is what she does with me, and it works. She's got a good hold on me. And no amount of money can buy, no amount of money can. Shirts, we give them off our backs, I'm sure. Cause out here we do it like that. There's a feeling that you can't deny. It's something no amount of money can buy. It's a hard, hard life, but we got what we came for. And there is no one reason why no amount of money can buy this dirt. Where the best roads lead, dirt, it's how I know I'm really free. And I wouldn't trade this way of life for anything. It's a hard, hard life, but we got what we came for. And every day is a miracle, like the green, green grass that grows up out of. It's a hard, hard life, but we got what we came for. And there is no one reason why no amount of money can buy. There's no amount of money that can buy this dirt. Dirt, you can't afford this dirt.
That's Jared Rogerson. That's the title of his album. I think it was two albums ago, called Dirt. You can find all of his music at jaredrogerson.com. You can also find where he is playing. Are you going to look him up, by the way? You're going to up there, right?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going up to Wyoming next
week.
Doesn't
he live in Wyoming? Isn't it Wyoming?
He lives in a totally different area. I think he lives in Montana, but it's actually not that far.
You should look and see if he has a show over in Wyoming. Check that out.
Oh, my God.
get to meet
if
him.
If I could see Jared Rodgerson play, I'd freak out.
He'd have you up on stage with him.
I'd be like that girl up on, like, at the front. Everybody would be like sitting down calmly listening to his show. You know, everybody's like, he's on the stage and there's like tables set out with candles on the tables and everybody's sitting down eating. And I'd be like that girl up at the front, like, woo! Like standing up, dancing to every song. Flash my tots. The group. Hello! Play dirt! Pays 11 horses again.
Again for the 20th time tonight.
Play it again. Shut up and play.
Yep. You'd be out the door.
And we're going to have
and that's
that
Jared Stalker.
I'm getting better if I haven't brought this stuff. These are submitted by our auditors, okay? Our auditors, I say, hey guys, clearly we all have problems. Let's hear it. They're equestrian first world problems. And if you have an equestrian problem, it is a first world problem here. That's the life that we all choose to live. So we're going to start with who we're going to hear from in just a minute. Elizabeth Muller. Elizabeth Sunburn from badminton in England. WTH. Ugh. Okay. You're going to notice a theme of sunburn here. These are all the same a-holes that were complaining about the snow and cold weather just a little while ago. Glenn, are you there? Jennifer, are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
We're here.
Sunscreen, people. Sunscreen. That's all I'm saying. Moving on. Avery said, someone loaned me a hay chipper machine to chop up my own hay for my 38-year-old pony. And so I set a nice tub of chopped alfalfa in front of her, and she turned up her nose at it and went to gum the unchopped flake. Isn't that how
it goes?
That's
typical.
I have to soak Zeus's hay now because he just has such a crusty neck. The vet suggested that I do that. He's potential for insulin resistance. So I'm soaking the hay and it takes forever. And like,
how's he
jump
you
it.
Live in Arizona where your grass is like this tall. How's he gaining that much weight?
No, it's not. He doesn't weight gain. It's just a potential problem with the sugars. So you can soak hay for 30 minutes and then drain it, and it takes a lot of the sugars out, which is great. Except for the fact that I soak this hay and I take it into a stall. It takes me, you know, a long time to prep it and get it ready. I take it in a stall and he tries to steal Thor's hay, his neighbor.
Of course.
Like,
it's always
that. I don't want the sugar-free hay. So I feel you, Avery. Katie said, our lawnmower's battery is dead and my wife won't let me put up a portable paddock to graze the horses in the human paddock. I feel you. Chad won't let me take horses in the yard to graze. And the grass is so good in the yard because he works so hard on it. And there's the sprinklers. He's like, every time a horse gets in here, a sprinkler head breaks. So he's out of town right now.
And they're a pain in the neck to fix. You know, the other thing in our, I always wondered about this in our neighborhood, it's kind of like yours, it's an equestrian neighborhood. So all of farms are perimeter fenced. And a lot of the people just let their horses out around the house and, you know, in the driveway and just around everywhere. And I'm going, if I did that with Scooter, he'd have every plant eaten. He'd have every single thing around the house torn up. I don't get horses that don't destroy everything around the house because he would have it all destroyed.
Yeah, I have a friend that takes pictures of her horse's head, like, in their window. You know, the horse walks right up to the house. I was like, God, Zeus would pull all of the windows all around the window down. He would eat the inside.
Yeah,
he would probably try to climb in the house.
Exactly. I don't get it.
Yeah. Carly says, it's 2:07 a.m. and I'm awake because my mind is racing over what I should wear to my dressage lesson tomorrow.
Carly needs to drink more. I mean, I know.
Danielle said, my horse's mane is so long that now I have to braid it before trail rides so it doesn't get caught in my hands when we canter. Abby says, oh, always the bridesmaid. I don't have a single free weekend in May to compete because everyone is getting married.
Oh, there is that time in your life, isn't there, when all your friends are getting married at the same time?
You know what? That's why I'm friends with only single old horse chicks, okay? You need some saltier friends.
Well, not only that, if they do get married, they're not inviting you. They're just inviting like two people.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I don't make the cut. Carrie, I've been in Aiken for 120 days and now I have to go back to muddy New York. Aubrey, I'm not going to get to ride or compete my two horses much in the next few months because I'm going to Africa and then to Europe.
Well, that's a good deal, huh?
We need Aubrey to come on.
Yeah, we need to find out what's going on there. Yeah.
I need more information, Aubrey. Come on. Joy said, she posted one, but I don't have it in this thread, but she said that she also wants to complain about the gnats. Oh, why do they even exist? Yes, when you're riding and you're breathing and your mouth breathing and then a bug flies in your mouth. That's so weird.
Yeah, I don't know about gnats. You know, most bugs have a use. I don't get gnats. And you know what we're starting into here? And you know exactly what this is love bug season. We're starting into love bug season here in Florida. And anybody who hasn't experienced love bug season, it's a treat.
I think my mama calls them blind mosquitoes.
Well, apparently they eat mosquitoes, which I don't get because they seem to fly around blind, like your mom said. And they're always mating, which is why they're called love bugs. But they smash on your window and you cannot get them off your windshield. You cannot take water because that just smears them. You have to use this special stuff. Actually, the best thing to get them off for anybody that takes a vacation in Florida during love bug season and you can't see out of your windshield anymore, what you do is you take dryer sheets and you get them a little wet. The actual dryer sheets, get them a little wet, and that takes the love bugs off your windshield.
And you have to wipe them with your actual hands?
Yes.
Ew. That sounds like a husband job.
Otherwise, you can't see out of your windshield.
Katie says, my dishwasher broke and I had to wash all my dishes from the weekend by hand. Oh. Lindsay, she says, this is an actual quote from my mother this weekend. And yes, I teased her with Jamie's whiny voice. I love how my bathroom remodel turned out, but now my bathroom is too big.
You're the one that remodeled it.
Samantha, I forgot my headphones, so I can't listen to them because I work with muggles. Is that what non-hit'em people are called?
I guess. I like that. Don't you?
And
for you that aren't Harry Potter fans, you have no idea what we're talking about.
Everybody should know what a muggle is by now. Brenna says, I got really sunburned trail riding this weekend. Sunscreen, people.
Yeah.
Casey said,
over the winter, they forget sunscreen exists. The northern people.
I know, and then they reveal these white ass shoulders or arms, legs, never seen sun, and you know, and then they're like, oh gosh, why did it burn? I don't know. But you know what? Don't wear sunscreen because I like you complaining about it. Casey said, I drove to TSC, Tractor Supply Company, I guess.
Yep.
I drove all the way to TSC to get a supplement for my mare, and then I spent a ton of money, and then I left without the supplement because they were out of it. Girl, I can't go into a Target. Can't do it. You know, at CVS, too. CVS sucked me in because it's right on the way to Lucas' school, and I'm like, I'll just run in for one thing, and then I spend $80. Why? What am I buying?
There you go. What are parents going to do with Toys R Us all closed?
You know what? Rejoice, okay? As a person that's been to Toys R Us with a child, it's a freaking nightmare. I almost dropped the F-bomb right there. Oh, man. Get me excited. Tara says, my beautiful, fancy, warm-blood mare is just too small for me. So now I'm going to have to go horse shopping for a bigger, beautiful, warm-blood. Oh, you poor thing. Hope your beds are just big. I'll help you out. April says, I'm trying to listen live to hit 'em this morning on my phone. And my husband keeps calling me.
Oh, well, it's priorities there, April. Just ignore him.
Hit the ignore button,
yeah,
baby.
That's right.
Send one of those Insta text messages. You know how it's like, oh, I'm busy. I'll call you back.
Yeah, you
I have to call
what?
You back.
You see him all the time. You only spend a couple hours a week with us. So
I mean, really?
Yeah.
What's your priority?
Yeah.
Elizabeth says, my retired draft cross, Mr. Bill, keeps splashing all the water in his water trough on his belly. So I have to keep refilling it and saying, oh, oh no, Mr. Bill. Oh no.
Hey, Jennifer, you can try and call Liz now.
Oh, there you go. I just had to. We'll end on that one. I've got more, but
I like how Jessica said my iPhone crashed while listening to Hit 'Em this morning, and she has a sad face.
Oh no,
Mr. Bill.
What'd you mean? By the way, when you're trying to figure out how to soak a big flake of hay, Rachel said that she needs more hay nets. That's her first world problem, and I started to think like I was like, okay, I've got this big rope hay net. I'm going to put the hay in the hay net and put the hay bag in like the muck tub full of water, let it soak up. And then I just lift the hay net out and hang it up.
That's what Jennifer does. That's what Jennifer does. Yep.
Is she bench pressing like 180? What the hell? That is so freaking heavy. I couldn't
lift it
out.
Depending on the type of hay too, it's heavier. Depends on it. And then for Scooter, she has to play this game because he doesn't like cheap hay. He likes the really good stuff. And he can't have the really good stuff because he's fat, like really fat. Talk about crusty neck for another reason. So yeah. She takes, but he won't eat it unless he knows there's some good hay inside. So now she has to make hay sandwiches where she puts a little bit of the good stuff on the inside of the other stuff and then has to pack it all in the hay net so that the good stuff's on the inside so he can smell it and know it's in there and he has to eat his way through to it. So now we're making hay sandwiches for the little pony.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Wet hay sandwiches.
Now, imagine that. So there you go. Well, let's head off to England. I think she's almost in London. We have Elizabeth, one of our auditors on here. Hi, Elizabeth. Good afternoon.
Hello. Hi. There's a lot of delay, so I'm going to do my best not to interrupt you.
So now, okay, so we'll keep that in mind. What was it like? This is like your 20th time at badminton, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. This is my, 2014, 17, 18, my third time. And it was definitely the sunniest for sure.
Yeah. Did you get sunburned too? Do you have a first world problem?
She already submitted hers. Oh, that was sunburned.
Yeah.
Now,
for a ride.
Now, you know about sunscreen, right, Elizabeth?
Yeah. Sweated it off.
So tell us about badminton. How was it different this year? What'd you like? Give us the report.
Sure. So I felt like the course this year was a little bit friendlier to the horses. You have less of the riders talking about how they weren't sure how they were going to ride something after they'd walked the course a bunch of times. And that was kind of the feeling that I had last year. It was not easy for the horses to read the questions. So you did have some tumbles and stuff this year, but last year there were quite a few pretty bad rotational falls at one specific jump where I happened to be standing. And so I was really glad not to see that kind of thing again.
And do you tend to stay at one jump or do you walk the course?
No, I like to walk around, and it was great this year because the ground was so good. If you weren't, a 1,200-pound horse sinking down into it, it was really easy to walk and not get stuck in the mud, and the grass wasn't wet. And they have the lanes really wide, so you can see actually a lot of the jumps from kind of far back, so you don't feel like you're going to miss somebody walking between the jumps. So that's really cool.
Does it still give you goosebumps walking around there watching the show?
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely. There was a jump near the end that it's like a, what was it called? The Crooked S. It sounded funny on the announcers were saying it, Crooked S all day. It's like a bull rush and it looks like 10 feet tall and the horses are at the end of their cross country round and they pull up this long hill and you just don't think how any horse could get across it. But it's like a true fox hunting type of jump. And when I stood there, I saw, quite a few horses just fly it without any, they didn't even blink. They just knew what it was and flew across. But some of them are huge.
Hmm. Interesting. Now, what
did you just ask her if you still get goosebumps? I've been going to Rolex for 20 years and I cry like almost every time somebody gallops by. I'm like, that was so beautiful. God, the partnership. Oh my God. Yeah. So, silly question. I knew the answer to that one. Oh, oh God.
Were the crowds heavy this year?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, I felt like I got there really early for the, final horse inspection. I got there like 45 minutes early, so I couldn't even get up to the standing to see the trot up on the Sunday morning. And last year, I remember I got there about half an hour early. There were half as many people and I got a seat. So it was just the weather and the, I think the excitement of having two top British riders or two British riders in the top three. It was just a kind of a really good feeling. You know, people came to watch the horses too, you know, not just shop.
And it's an educated crowd too, isn't it?
Yeah. On the Saturday, it's kind of, you have people that really do, it's a joke, but you do have people that really come and don't see a horse go. They just, because the shopping is incredible. It's hundreds of trade stands. It's probably double Kentucky. And so if you can imagine trying to have all of those. And so, but you do have people that know their local riders and are there to support their local riders because it's not so spread out as the States, obviously. So they'll have people from just up the road and their students come and really cheer them on and everything. And yeah, you can get into interesting conversations with people about who they're supporting.
So but they do have the drunk section too, right? I mean, people just booze out.
Yeah, I didn't even actually go down by the lake because last year when I tried, there was like no getting through that crowd. Everybody's close to the alcohol, but it's pretty spread out over the course as well.
Okay.
But that's where... That's where the big bar is and most of the stands are where people just park themselves all day. But really there were people were 10 sick at jumps all around the course because the weather was so good. You have never seen so many pairs of white legs in your life. It was, everybody was enjoying the sunshine.
And they've had a tough spring with the weather, so this is probably the first time their legs have been
rainy,
out.
Yeah.
So now we talked earlier in the show about the change to dressage and how it's made this sport instantly more exciting. Did you get that feel when you were watching the stadium, when you were watching them all jump at the end?
Definitely. I think the result, the final result was influenced by that because people were pushing for the time because they took that into consideration, but it ultimately didn't change the top three, which was kind of cool. No excuses, you know, like, oh, suddenly the change, but it made the dressage, I thought, even more exciting because the numbers were so much closer together, you know, and so you'd wind up with people scrunched right together. So like on the first day, Lauren Kiefer was she was in fourth place, which is amazing. And she was like 0.1 behind third place. And she was only like 1.1 behind first place. And so it just made me think anybody with a good horse could have a real shot. So it's cool.
Now, and was the crowd really excited when the first female won in a long time, when Janelle won?
Oh, yeah. Well, and the New Zealanders always, they're good fun anyway. But yeah, there were people going crazy, you know, but she lives locally too. So a lot of people know them and go to their farm, I think, because they really had a lot of support for both of them. So it's a little bit different. They didn't travel over, so people know who they are. They're really recognizable.
Hmm. And what's your favorite food?
Well, there's ice cream stands all over the entire place, so that was a big hit this weekend.
Bet. With the weather being what it was, I bet it was.
There's nothing wrong with having ice cream four times in one day.
No.
Okay?
But you're walking it off. Right, it's fine.
Yeah. I had to pace myself. Right, exactly. It's expensive, though. Everything's expensive. You think, oh, it's just 3 pounds, but it's really like $5 for one piece of ice cream. I'm like, yeah, I'm worth it. Doing it.
So is this one that you're just going to be at every year? Is this a commitment now you've made to yourself?
I'm going to try. I really enjoy it, and there's so much to do around because it's in the Cotswolds, which are really beautiful, kind of what typifies English countryside, I'd say. You can see a lot when you're driving around, and the villages are really cute. So you can go out after the first 2 days sessions and see castles and stuff, you know. And so it's not as isolated as maybe you'd think being out away from London. There's still tons and tons to do. And it's just really fun to make connections with people over here because they're so the horsey lifestyle of the people that come to badminton. It's just really, really cool. They really get into it. And I was at a house today doing some touristy stuff, and the lady, she's probably a million years old, she was doing one of the rooms, like telling about one of the rooms, and she went on and on about badminton and how she was going to go next year and everything. And so it's just cool. People know the name Zara and everybody who wasn't there this year, but they know their riders. It's really, really neat.
I dated a guy who rode in Burley a long time ago. And he said that when he got off the plane in England, the people, you know, his horse was there and everything, and people knew who he was. And he's not a famous rider, but they were like, oh, you're going to Burley. Like the guys that worked at the airport security knew of Burley. And you would never find an airport security agent in the U.S. talking about Rolex.
No.
You know, like, but it is
or anything
just,
involving a horse.
Last year in Kentucky, we went to a Walmart, like, around the corner from Rolex, and the guy checking us out was like, why are there so many people here? We're like, 2 miles away. But it's totally different here. You still do get people who are like, oh, that's horses, right? But yeah, and Burley's really different too because it's farther from London, which means you get more of a dedicated horsey crowd. Plus, they have the young event horse class there at the same time. So that's another really great one, and it's less busy. So it's definitely worth
seeing. What are you doing today?
So I went to a house called Wilton House. I'm kind of south of Badminton, about an hour and a half south, and I saw the house and grounds, and there are about 12 million kids because it's their bank holiday, which is sort of like Memorial Day, so it's really, really crowded, plus it's super nice out, but it was cool because they filmed a whole bunch of TV shows there, and Tomb Raider, they just filmed there, and so that's always kind of fun. I go, oh, you know, recognize it. And then I'm in Abbey where they did some Harry Potter filming, and then I'm going to Harry Potter studio tour in a little bit here.
Oh, so, Jennifer wants to do that so bad. Jennifer wants to do that one so bad.
I'll tell you how it is. We'll see. It's expensive, so hopefully it'll be fun.
Yeah, that will be fun. Well, thank you, Elizabeth.
Are you there? Hold on. Yeah. Are you there with your sweet daddy? Because we got to meet him, so we just wanted to tell him hi.
I didn't let him. I didn't let him come this time. He doesn't have a passport. He's Star Cooper.
Lame. Get a passport.
I know.
Well, you have fun with Harry Potter.
Thank you. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right.
Thanks for checking
in. Thanks, Elizabeth. That's a trip. Now she goes to see Harry Potter after badminton. Jennifer wants to do that one so bad, that tour. How cool is that? Sounds like a fun weekend. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate it. It's Endurance Day tomorrow. Karen will be here for Endurance Day, so you can look for her then. I know she just got done with the ride over the weekend, so I'm sure she'll have that to talk about. Plus, there's lots going on in the endurance world right now. And then Wednesday, Jamie will be back. Get your ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com for Friday. And now your You're leaving when? You're going to be heading up north.
I'm going to Wyoming on the 15th, so I will be here on the 14th. And I don't know if I've told you guys what I'm doing there.
Not really.
Do you want me to tell you real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
So they've invited me, this ranch, Triangle X Ranch, in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, has... we interviewed them and they had just bought a whole bunch of Frisians to add to their guest string. And the wife who's the wife of the owner of the ranch or the manager of the ranch was given, okay, this one will be your Frisian. You can have this one. And so she decided to train the horse herself and made a very bad decision and woke up in the hospital. And does not remember what happened, but she apparently tried to get on the horse after doing some round pen stuff, got on without a helmet, and was catapulted into the fence and woke up. So that nobody's been on the horse since. Everybody's kind of afraid of the horse. So they heard about me and my Monty Roberts training through a mutual friend, and they've invited me up to come and train this horse. So Lucas, my dad, and I, and potentially Chad, depending on his schedule, we're going to go stay at the ranch and I'm going to train this wild Frisian. So you guys are going to love the updates on this one. Okay. The GoPro everything.
And we all know Frisians are kind and considerate and never bullheaded.
Never buck a rear kick or do anything silly. So yeah, you know what? They've been using it as a pack horse. Nobody has been on it since this accident. And that was 2 years ago. So this is an older horse that has really not done much. So I don't know what I'm going to get. I don't know much of the history. We're just going to have to evaluate it and see what we can do. But they just, what's amazing is that a dude ranch in Wyoming full of cowboys is hiring some chick that uses Monty Roberts techniques to come up to their ranch and train their horse. Okay. How crazy is that? Think about it.
It is kind of crazy when you think about it, because normally you're sending them off to the cowboy.
Right, exactly. Send them to a cowboy. Get them broke. And this is a Wyoming dude. This is a Wyoming ranch that's hiring some chick who is all like fluffy and doesn't use any violence to come up and train their horse. That is progress.
You know,
that's amazing.
I bet you the cowboys are going to be watching closely.
Oh gosh. I can't imagine the, you know what? I'm going to stick to the wife. She's really excited to have me come up. So this is, but yeah, I'm definitely not excited about how I may get. I don't know. They're all very nice people. I'm sure they'll be very excited to have me come up and show them how to train their horse.
Well, if nothing else, it'd be, you can only train the horse so many hours a day, right? So you're going to have lots of free time to enjoy the ranch.
I will. Oh yeah. I'm going to trail rides. Uh-huh. Come on now. And my dad's going to be hanging out with Lucas. So I'm like, peace. Y'all have fun. I'm going to go ride. So it should be, I'm definitely nervous and trying to pack. Like, how do you explain to airport security why you have plastic bags on a stick?
Well, you can get plastic bags there, you know. They have grocery stores.
I know. I'm gonna
you
have
can
to
probably
get
find
stuff.
A stick there, too.
Yeah. I have my own stick. I prefer my own stick, Glenn. And then why are you taking all these ropes and this saddle, weird looking saddle thing? And lots of nonsense. But we'll see what happens. And hopefully I can get the horse ridden by the end of the week. No pressure. They actually invited me to stay a month. And I was like, real life.
Yeah. Does this count towards your what's it called?
My internship.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to video everything and hopefully it will.
You're hopefully training a crazy Frisian. If anything counts, that should.
In his name. Okay. With the Monty Roberts techniques and training a training a horse.
I think that should count. Unless it goes poorly, then Monty's going to go, I don't know who she is.
Know who she is. I think you should email Debbie and tell her that needs to happen.
All right.
Because Chad keeps saying. I'm like, I don't know.
Well, she'll probably be filling in for you one day. I'll just tell her on this air. Then the pressure will be on, right?
Just so you know, I have invited multiple other Monty Roberts certified trainers to come with me. And somebody please come help me.
You can do this. You can do this.
You can
do this. Unless, of course, the horse has been troubled the whole time. I don't know. We don't know what happens to it. That's the problem when you get into these situations is you don't know.
Well, you know, it's an unhandled Mustang. You know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Or an unstarted 2-year-old. You know what you're going to get.
Right.
But an older horse, you don't know what they've been through. And if you go back and listen to how they got these horses, you know, they basically were on a truck and he's like, yeah, I'll take them.
Yeah. You don't know if they've been cattle prodded or anything else. I mean, you don't know anything
about their history. So you just have to assess the situation and move from there.
But that's what that training's all about that you got with Monty.
That's what it's all about. Yeah. So I'm not certified yet, though. Hopefully
all right. Having come off shoulder surgery, I don't recommend any broken parts. Okay.
I don't want to break anything. Okay, thanks, though.
Okay, no problem. Can I send you the bubble suit? I have a bubble suit now. I'll just send it to you. Yeah, hey, I do have Claire has asked a question real quick before we end the show, and Jennifer might know the answer to this. I'm trying to recall the name of a product that was featured on Hit'em a year or two ago. It was a little attachment you put on your riding boots that notified you when your heel came above the parallel while riding. And I do remember talking about that. Jennifer, do you remember the name? Jennifer, you're on mute, I think.
I said, give me a minute. I'll look it up.
Okay. Because, Jamie, do you remember we talked about that?
I have never heard of that ever in my entire life.
It must have been on Tuesday or Thursday. But I remember we talked about that, and it was a Kickstarter project at the time. Well, we'll find the answer to that and let you know. We'll work on it, Claire. I do know that it did go into production, though. I do remember that, and I actually have seen it somewhere for sale.
It is a level up heel indicator.
That's it. It's called level up. So look for level up heel.
Which is counterintuitive. You would think it would have the word down in the name.
Yeah.
Down up, heel down.
It was made so that it would beep every time your heel, what was it? It would beep, right? I'm trying to remember exactly what it did, but it beeped when.
I know. No. It needs
your heel
to have
went
an
up.
Electric shock.
Yeah, but it was so you didn't have to say it over and over and over and over again as an instructor. It would just beep. I do remember that. I don't know if it actually works or not. But all right, that's it for today. Thanks, everybody. We'll see y'all all tomorrow morning here on Horses in the Morning.
All right. I think I'm losing my internet. Spay, neuter, geld. Have a good one.